Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You know, we're some lifelong nerds. It's our job every week, every Wednesday
every
night specifically.
Wednesday.
9 to 10, right? We drop some knowledge on you.
We deliver.
It's like a band hammer.
You can leave it at that. We deliver.
But it's a damn hammer of knowledge. That's what we're doing. Bear, we got a website. What is the website, Bear?
The website that you can find us at is exppoints.com. Always double tap the P.
We're on social media as well. exppoints.com/Twitter/Facebook/Google+ with the plus sign. You got the YouTubes. We're at /YouTube/Steam. /Steam is something that's kind of
neat. Just try exppoints.com/something.
/anything you want.
We
don't have /MySpace. Yet. But if that's a lot to remember, you can go ahead and go to exppoints.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, look for the little colored buttons, click on those, and you go to all of our stuff. You can catch all of our information that we're throwing out at you via Twitch or Twitter. We are, however, also on Stitcher and iTunes.
What?
I may have said this in every show previous to this since we've been on Stitcher and iTunes, but
I just started paying attention.
Stitcher and iTunes, some people use Stitcher. If you have, not iPhones, and if you have iPhones, you use iTunes. We're podcastable, so go to iTunes or Stitcher and search for Experience Points Radio Show, or just go to exppoints.com/iTunes or exppoints.com/Stitcher, and we'll be there. If you don't want to go to either of those, you can just go to exppoints.com, click on the radio tab,
and there's
all of our... You can stream us online from that.
I love buttons.
But we have a pretty awesome show for you. Before we get too in-depth into the knowledge we're dropping, we're going to drop you a song. This is Area 11 by Euphemia. You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Area 11 by Euphemia. What did you do last week, Red Bear?
What did I do last week?
What'd you do?
Died. I help a friend move, and what do I get in return? The universe makes me die.
Dude, you Phoenix downed hard because you're here.
I did.
You're right here.
Barely.
Barely.
Here. Physical form, not so much mental.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's all right. You're still going to do a good show, though, right?
I will say.
I don't have any doubts. That's cool. So
I'll believe in you, not in me.
Was that it? Was that all you done?
That's pretty much all I've done.
All you done.
Dead for a week.
Oh, that sucks.
Being dead will really take it out of you.
You're going to start to decompose fairly soon.
Yeah, so we should probably wrap up the show.
Yeah. I had a little bit of time playing some pretty cool games. I've been playing this Super Nintendo game. It's not actually our retro game, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit because my co-host Russell, he special guest. Hosted. If you don't remember Russell, look at the MMO segment, or not the MMO, but the games that we played, Nostalgia Hard game, thing that we did a while back. Russell and Cap were on that show. Russell's been kind of riding me pretty hard about playing one of his favorite games that he's pretty good at called Metal Marine since I was in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, right? I'm playing this game, and it's like an RTS kind of strategy, turn-based strategy game. For the Super Nintendo. It's for the Super Nintendo. The graphics are pretty neat, but I'm bad at this game, dude. It's so hard. They softball you the first couple missions, and then on mission eight, they're like, deep water, son, deep water. And it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's really, really hard. If you haven't played Metal Marines, go ahead and check it out.
There's nothing wrong with a hard game.
Other than that, I've completed my Aliens series of movies watching.
Ooh, nice.
Finished watching all of the Aliens, and I realized that...
I watched Top Gun like 3 times this week.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a volleyball scene. I'm telling you, it'll get you coming back.
It'll get you and keep you.
It'll get you and keep you.
I came for the plane, stayed for the volleyball.
That's exactly what happened. Wasn't Val Kilmer in that movie? Yeah. Val Kilmer and crazy old Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise.
I realized that, I liked Alien. I really liked Aliens. Alien 3 can die in a fire, literally. Aliens Resurrection, I actually like that one because I think I like Winona Ryder before she went all crazy shoplifter crazy person.
Yeah.
Anyone that doesn't know, Winona Ryder played Spock's mom in the reboot of Star Trek, the 2009 reboot. That was her.
Yay.
I realized, and I watched Alien vs. Predator.
You did AVP stuff?
I did AVP. I don't like Alien versus Predator.
You don't?
I don't.
Well, it's a different type of... It's fun.
It's
you didn't
fun.
Drink enough.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't drink enough. I feel like that's a real problem with some movie series. Like, you can't take them seriously like they're part of the canon.
No.
And I want to so much because I want more aliens. Like, I want Sigourney Weaver to do another Aliens movie. I want John Cameron or whatever his name is to do it. I want more of that. I'll even take Alien Resurrection's director, which Alien Resurrection and Aliens aren't even really comparable, or comparable rather. But you know, it's this thing where like AVP,
yeah.
You know, AVP was so far away. It was literally just Freddy versus Jason. Literally,
yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, same you know, idea. It was fun.
Take two action horror whatever sci-fi things, slam them together. But then you think of like Prometheus. Now, whatever you say about Prometheus, whether you liked it or didn't like it, I watched that as well. I didn't watch it. I watched it.
So you did include it.
I watched it in chronological order when they were released. I didn't watch it in chronological order of when the movies took place.
Okay.
So I watched Prometheus at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't dislike Prometheus, but I felt, you know, I remember getting run over by the hype train when it first came out. This is like my third or fourth time watching Prometheus. I remember getting run over by that hype train.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whenever there's like Ridley Scott's doing another movie. What?
Is it getting better now that the hype's worn off?
It's so good. You know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. I remember the first time I watched it going, eh, I mean, it was good. I don't think it's that great. Maybe I just need to watch Aliens again. But now that I've watched all of Aliens in close succession, you know.
Right, right.
After I've watched Aliens, the entire series, I like it more than I like Alien versus Predator. I like it about the same, if not exactly the same, as Aliens Resurrection. I like it extremely better than Aliens 3, and I don't like it more than Aliens.
It's in a good place.
You know, it's like Alien, Aliens, and then like Prometheus, Aliens, Resurrection, and then Alien versus Predator 1 and 2, and then Requiem, and then, or is 2 Requiem? I can't remember.
I think that. Ooh, don't make me a liar.
I can't remember. Don't I may have missed a movie. I didn't know though. And then you know Prometheus, or and then I'm sorry, Aliens 3 at the very end. In fact, I don't even count Aliens 3, even though it totally like they could have just you know previously this is what happened. I don't think they did that in Alien Resurrection. Right. They sort of set it in narrative, but they didn't say it with like scrolling text. And I feel like that's
because that made it Star Wars.
That's the 80s. And that movie was made in like 97, so they were far away from that.
Yeah,
so.
We don't scroll text, bro. Unless you're George.
So yeah, I did a lot of Alien stuff. I've been building a Minecraft server and been outfitting a Minecraft server.
A note on my desk that says it needs testing.
We at Experience Points, we do have a Minecraft server coming. It's a pretty decent server. We're doing two sides. We're doing a test where we're testing all of our plugins first, and then we're deploying them to our new.
It's like for a dev shop.
To our new instance. If you would like to play. And we'll say this again at the end of the show in case you miss it right now because you have left. If you would like to play on the totally in development, don't consider it to be
we're letting people on
stable.
This.
The address is MC, as in Minecraft, mc.exppoints.com. Just go into Minecraft, click connect, and go to mc.exppoints.com. Now, we're using Bucket. So
yeah.
I've been learning a lot, and I've run a Bucket server before. It's allowing us to do a lot of really cool plugins. But Bucket isn't the most recent version of Minecraft. The most recent version is 1.7.10. We are running Bucket version 1.7.9. So in your launcher, if you don't know how to do this, just Google around. In your launcher, you're going to have to set it to 1.7.9. There's nothing that really came out in 1.7.10 that's game-changing. And we got a pretty awesome thing. We got world borders. We got all this stuff.
It's legit.
But I will say this. Like, the map's going to get rewritten so many times until we have an official grand opening. And we'll tell you on the show when that happens.
We'll let you know.
Other than that, I mean, that was pretty much my weekend and my week. I know
lots more aliens and less sick than mine.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, I feel like I know how to. I could cure you because I know how to cook food in Minecraft and I know how to brew potions in Minecraft.
What could possibly go wrong with this?
Because in testing Minecraft, we're actually playing the full single player version of Minecraft. Like we're going through and gonna kill the dragon. So me and a few of the people that I work with and around, we're all together in this world, and we're building up and we're like test this add on and they're like okay cool let's go to the Nether let's do some stuff, get some netherrack, kill some nether dudes and get some stuff. So. If you haven't done that, I'm doing it. It's pretty fun. You might want to do it too. We're going to go ahead and cut to a song. We're going to come back and talk about a retro game. This is Hanging On, the Living Phantoms remix, by Ellie Goulding or Ellie Goulding. Yes. She's from the Britain. From the British.
The motherland.
The mother state. Anyway, hanging on, Living Phantoms remix by Ellie Goulding. This is, I think it was on like the God of War Ascension commercial. The most recent God of War commercial. Anyway, I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear. I cannot do that voice. Wow.
I'm not gonna lie. You know, speaking of voices, I love Ellie Goulding's voice. I really
don't you
do.
Though?
She sounds so hot. And then they put like smoke on her voice. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they put like fog and smoke on her voice, like echoey, reverbery, flangey phasiness.
And post production.
They post produce the crazy out of it. And, and it just gets ridiculous. That was Hanging On by Living Phantom, the Living Phantoms remix from Ellie Goulding. Before we were doing crazy voices, we were going to talk about our retro game. This is our retro game's Aladdin, but it's all of the Aladdin games. This is sort of the type of tribute that gamers do to someone who, I don't know. I feel like I wasn't a huge Robin Williams fan, but it wasn't like I liked most of his movies.
Man, what's wrong with you?
You remember
One Hour Photo? Yes,
the one where he was in the RV.
Yes,
the one where he's in the marriage counselor.
Yes.
You remember that one? You didn't like that one. No one liked that one. Come on.
Yeah. Dead Poets Society, bro?
Dead Poets Society was really good. That actually had the guy from House, Wilson. It had Wilson.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I
think
that.
He was the young guy from...
Oh, okay. It
came out in like 1989, I think. Oh, so, man. Yeah. I can't remember his name. His name's like Leonard something. Anyway, Robin Williams, as I'm sure you know, if you have a
1989,
Facebook...
Yep. Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society, not Aladdin.
No.
So if you don't know who Robin Williams is, one, you...
What?
You I don't understand. But anyway...
And unfortunately, he's no longer with
us. Yeah. So he's gone.
Caught on.
So we're going to talk about Aladdin, because he was the genie in Aladdin, and Aladdin had some video games, so there's our connection.
Segway!
So suck it. Right. Kicking it the right way.
To Robin Williams.
Disney's Aladdin. First off, Aladdin wasn't created by Disney.
Most of Disney's movies and such are not created by Disney.
What? They're liars.
Back up. They adapt. Previously made things.
They make things that normally have a horrible ending.
They really do.
And they put things so that there's a nice, happy,
Look
romantic...
up Cinderella.
Right. A whole new world.
Just saying.
So Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin, excuse me. Disney's Aladdin, because it has Disney in front of... It's Disney
That's
possessive
how you know.
In front of Aladdin. It had like at least four games. And there's been numerous other inclusions of the characters that were created in Disney's Aladdin into a lot of other games. For instance, like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, or the entire Kingdom Hearts series, I guess. So we're just going to kick it off. We're not going to go too in-depth because each one of these games is very similar and yet somehow different than the previous game. So we're just going to kick it off this way.
Let's do it. Why not?
So ground rules, right? In 1993, through some crazy part of something, Sega... They had intellectual property rights to Disney Animation Studios. So,
crazy.
Because they wanted to do certain things. Like, Disney wanted to give them abilities to make games. They made through the Optical Illusions through the something with the Mickey Mouse game. I can't remember what the name of it was. But they did a very good job with that game. And Disney was like, yo, could you do something with Aladdin? And Sega was like, sure, bro, we can do that.
Got your back.
Sega developed, Virgin Interactive Studio, which was from Virgin Games, if anyone remembers Virgin Games, and published by Sega, they created Disney's Aladdin for the Mega Drive. If you don't remember the Mega Drive, it's okay.
Fine.
It wasn't,
Moving on.
It wasn't that big of a thing. Anyway, this company was also kind of, they were in, I don't know if you remember 7-Up. It was the thing that tried to run against Sprite. I think 7-Up's still around, but
yeah, the little dot guys.
It's like Pepsi. Yeah, Cool Spot. The like little animated character mascot is called Cool Spot. They had a bunch of these games where like they had Cool Spot as a character, and you'd play, and it was just like 7-Up cans everywhere, and you were on the beach. I remember playing this for the Sega Genesis. It was real. It was. How does the internet say it now? It was real cray. It was real mega cray.
That was mega cray.
Anyway, fast forward a little bit, 1993, Disney's Aladdin in Japanese, it's called Arajin. Was developed for the Super Nintendo, which was wildly more popular than the Mega Drive, and it was made by Capcom.
Yeah, I liked Capcom back in the day.
And this was different. This was like the same game almost, but not from Virgin, or it was from Capcom. And Capcom still had licensing rights for the Nintendo consoles at the time, so when the film was released, they had the rights to Nintendo consoles, Sega had the rights to Sega's consoles, Mega Drive was a Sega console, and so now we get Super, you know, an Aladdin game by Virgin Games on the Mega Drive from Sega, then we got an Aladdin game from Capcom on the Super Nintendo from, you know, Capcom.
Well, I will tell you one thing. I never played the one on the Mega Drive.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It did all right, but I don't think
the one on Super Nintendo, though, I remember two things: incredibly fun, incredibly difficult.
Apples. Throwing apples.
Apples. And if you'd stand there, he'd do the little apple animation where he rolls the apples on his arms.
It was. The sound. The sound was pretty good. And from what I hear, the sound, like the music and the taking games like what's that song? One hop ahead of the something.
Yeah.
Doo doo and I'm a
Oh God, please stop.
Anyway,
no,
that
no
one
more.
I'm gonna get recognized one day. There's gonna be a recruiter listening to the show. He's gonna recognize my voice.
He's gonna come in here and tell you to stop.
I'm gonna be a star. Anyway.
No, you're not.
I know that the music was really good in both, you know, the Sega version, the Mega Drive version, and the I've heard at least the Super Nintendo version. I could vouch for the Super Nintendo version because that's the only one that I've actually played.
Yeah, me too.
Now this was ported into a Game Boy Advance version and with extra stages. So all of the songs were replaced though, so with new music because maybe copyrights, we don't know. Wikipedia hasn't helped us that much, people.
Wikipedia, you failed me for the last time.
And in 1995, by some fun, you know, homebrew loving individuals, they developed it and ported it for the NES.
Because reasons.
Not an official port, obviously.
Because reasons.
Now, in 1994, Sega was at it again. They published for the Game Gear and the Master System.
I gotta hand it to Sega. They're diehard.
They published Disney's Aladdin again in 94 by Sims, S-I-M-S. For the Sega Game Gear and for the Master System. And, you know...
I remember wanting a Sega Game Gear so bad.
It was... All three of these games... And we should say this. Like, the Mega Drive version was also published for the Genesis. All three, four, or five of these versions of these games were all extremely similar. They were all side-scrolling. They all featured in some part, some way, you know, characters like Aladdin, Genie, Jasmine.
It's an Aladdin game.
Well, yeah. I think you always threw apples. There were always apples because that's, like, the only thing Aladdin actually threw in the movie at once at the very beginning during that first song. Well, the second song.
You do something once, and that's what you're known
for
the rest of your life.
But like most of it was like exactly the same as the other games. There were slight differences, and then we kind of speed up to 2001, where Disney Interactive and Argonaut created Disney's Aladdin. I'm sorry, Disney's Aladdin in Nasira's Revenge, where it was like a PlayStation and PC version.
Never played that one. I'll be honest.
It's so you know how there was like three Aladdin movies. There was Aladdin, there was Return of Jafar, and then there was the Prince of Thieves or King of Thieves or something.
Yeah.
With his dad, Aladdin had some daddy issues.
Wow.
Anyway. Wow. This is set after the Return of Jafar, so after the second movie, but before the TV show and the King of Thieves. So, you know, it's something like, it's I guess within canon, within the Aladdin universe, but we're not here to talk about the Aladdin universe, you know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Anyway, that was the Aladdin video games. I gotta say,
I'm gonna say, just pick up the one for the Super Nintendo,
yeah.
Or a port thereof.
Yeah, something, the Super Nintendo version, I can vouch for that one, we can vouch for that one. It was good.
That's the only one I ever played. It was good, it was hard, it was fun,
I
liked it.
I know there was one in the Cave of Wonders, whenever Abu takes the thing and everything starts filling with lava, that was a hard level. That
yes.
was a really
hard,
it's like the floor is literally lava and the lava is moving. Then there was one, I think it was a carpet level where you were on the carpet and you were flying and it was just it was like Tempest. You have to just dodge everything.
Oh, yeah.
And that was good though. It was cool. I think it was a very clever use, unless I'm thinking of the wrong version. It was like a really clever use of Mode 7 at the time when Mode 7 was really just Final Fantasy overworld maps.
Yay!
Anyway, that was the Aladdin games.
Game.
That was like eight or nine, 10 games covered.
At least the Super Nintendo one's a good game.
Yeah. Now Aladdin and Genie and Abu and all these, you know, the plot lines kind of merged and, you know, collided in Kingdom Hearts, in the Kingdom Hearts series, but, you know, that's not too bad. I enjoyed Kingdom Hearts. Coming out with the third one soon.
It's a fairly popular game.
In 2004, I guess it does bear to say, in 2004, Vivendi released Disney's Aladdin Chess Adventures, which was a computer game where you played chess with Aladdin characters. But anyway, we're going to cut to two songs. We're going to give you a twofer. This is IKEA by Jonathan Coulton and Reading Rainbow, the theme by the Human Tim. It's like a metal version. It's really awesome.
So awesome. Stay tuned for that one. And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Long ago.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Reading Rainbow by the Human Tim. Before that, IKEA by Jonathan Coulton. I really love, I'm liking the fact, one, that was an awesome mix, by the way. The Human Tim's always doing really crazy things.
Yes.
In fact, we might play another one from him later on in the show.
Why not?
I'm happy that Reading Rainbow's coming back.
I'm so happy about that. Kickstarted and everything.
Kickstarted to the moon and back.
Boom.
We should just kickstart NASA.
Why doesn't NASA do a Kickstarter?
I imagine because they're federally funded. There's some reasons, but if it was like a huge donation from the world, welcome to donate.
Listen, can we start a Kickstarter for NASA then just show up at NASA with like a big bag of money and leave it outside?
Or do a GoFundMe at NASA or whatever, Indiegogo.
That'll
be it. NASA creates an Indiegogo.
Yeah. Oh, man. Honestly, I like Indiegogo way better than Kickstarter.
Really?
Yeah.
I have never gotten anything off of Kickstarter. Off of Indiegogo. I've only gotten things off of Kickstarter.
Okay.
And they've all been fantastically awesome, cool things.
Yeah.
So that's cool. We're going to jump into our main segment. Our main segment sort of has two parts. It's like the light and the dark side of our main segment. Our main segment.
We have cookies.
Our main segment's a chicken.
Main segment's a chicken.
Yeah, I really like chicken. Anyway, no, so this is
beef.
This is
what's for dinner, Matt.
Things that video games do. I don't know what's for dinner.
You said, do you like chicken? I'm going with beef.
Oh, okay.
Light and dark? I don't know.
Moving on. So,
What are we going with here?
Kill the joke. Anyway. So we are going to talk about some things that video games do that we're okay with. And then we're going to come back and kind of talk about some of the tropes that video games are affected by.
I like how I'm looking at a list here, and the tropes of things we don't like is a lot longer than the list that we do like.
Yeah, because I feel like the list that we do like, it's not necessarily that we like them. It's just that it's okay. Like, we don't mind that these things exist. We're going to kick it off, right? We're going to kick it off, and in no specific order. You've been playing a game, right? And I'm not going to – we have some examples, some game examples. Sometimes we don't. You're playing a game, Tomb Raider comes to mind, and you're like, yeah, I'm not talking like old Tomb Raider, but I guess new Tomb Raider sort of works too. Like you're playing a game and you're jumping from thing to thing and you miss a jump and you're like, oh no. And you land and you're like, ugh. And you die from like falling,
from fall damage,
you know, like 3 or 4 blocks. And that makes sense. You know, that's normal. If you fall 40, 50 feet, you'll probably die.
Yeah. One thing I love doing in WoW is like right when I start up, I try to see how far I can jump.
Oh.
And then as you level up, you can jump farther.
But you right?
Yeah.
I never noticed that.
Because you have more HP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So at first, you can't jump as far, and like you forget that then when you make a new character.
Yeah.
So you like jump off of a tower or something, and you're like, why did I die?
I thought I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, you didn't even realize because all your characters high level.
So, you know, okay, that's kind of realistic. But it's not really realistic whenever you just get, like, you're like a bullet sponge in some games. You know, you just soak up some damage.
Yeah.
And either there's a health pack, because those things are magic. Where are those in real life?
Stim packs.
Like, oh no, got in a car accident, missing all of my limbs. Quick, give me a health pack. Oh, I'm good. You know, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. In Tomb Raider, it's health packs. In God of War and Modern Warfare.
Actually, stim packs fix limbs? I don't remember.
Stim packs repaired limbs from being useless. And they did.
My computer's been down for a couple
weeks. Doctor's bag fixed everything. And then stim packs fixed individual things. Anyway, but then you could you're like a bullet sponge in some games like Call of Duty or Battlefield, and then all you gotta do is like hide behind a rock for a second, and you're like,
I absolutely hate the no health thing, like where the screen dims around the edges and you hide.
I like having a very defined amount of health that I don't get back, aka Counter-Strike.
Yes.
In fact, Counter-Strike might be some of these good examples, right?
Super
healing sucks sometimes, but I don't think we mind super healing, especially in like a narrative type game, like an adventure game.
No, I mean, well, if I'm there for the narrative, yeah, I'm there for the narrative. Like, I'm not there for...
I want to be led through the story sometimes.
And it depends on what you're going for. If you're going for a story, that's one thing. If you're going for competition, I think that's something... That's super healing stupid if you're in a competition.
Right, and that's why I like Counter-Strike, you know, and that's I likened it to Counter-Strike. Short-term NPC memory.
There's NPCs, always forgetting.
So it can be as entire family. And they're fine.
And they're okay with this.
It can be as easy or as simple as you ask an NPC and they just say the same thing again, like they've met you for the first time every time. And that's a restriction of memory sometimes. Sometimes just a lazy game design. But then you've got NPCs in a dynamic open world thing like Grand Theft Auto, and you like kill a cop and then you run away and then you walk back outside after their stars go away and the cop's right there and you're like, hey bro,
how's it going?
You know, it's like any game where you do something and they don't. I think the best game that handled that was like Assassin's Creed. Creed, you know, the later versions at least, they would post like wanted posters. You have to rip them down.
Right, yeah.
You know, there was some type of mitigation of wanted level, and I really like that. But I don't think we care so much that NPCs forget who you are because you're not into Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto isn't a simulation. Grand Theft Auto, you murder everyone. You bring honor to your family. You're something. I don't even know what you do in Grand Theft Auto now.
You do in Grand Theft Auto. You do whatever you want. Right. You can live in Grand Theft Auto.
You beat the story, so you can have a ton of money to buy anything you want.
Yeah.
Or you find the cheat codes in your code book or whatever in your internet.
Remember when that was a thing, kids?
Yeah. Tips and tricks.
Wow.
Friendly fire. I think it's important to have friendly fire on sometimes, but I find that in most games, especially online games, Call of Duty, Battlefield, looking at you, most of the time it's off. And it's not that it could be on that bothers me. It's the fact that it's not sort of forced. And I know Counter-Strike is most of the time on, I feel, in games that I would play.
On.
And that makes sense.
Counter-Strike.
But I don't think it's such a bad thing that Counter-Strike or that friendly fire is off a lot of the times.
I think. Okay, the problem is people are just dumb and jerks. And
yeah. I guess they just like to team kill.
Yeah, they like to team kill.
Lots of TKing.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I could go either way. In a competitive environment like the actual video game league, I think friendly fire should always be on.
I feel like a game like World of Warcraft would actually benefit from the added mechanic of not only can the enemies fire
watch out
kill
for my
you,
magic missile
right like not only can, well not even collision like that but like AOE things that your friends throw down like
you
if set it hurt
the world
you,
on fire and yeah. maybe they should take damage
right
like the ground is on fire
you're standing in plasma what do you
I could
doing?
Actually agree with that.
I think that would be pretty cool.
That'd be a fun mechanic. Hey Blizzard, take us up and stuff on that offer.
This one's kind of a twofer because it's weapons that never need any maintenance. Like you have swords that never need to be sharpened. Now
some games
do this in the way of like
and you hate it every time they
you know
do this
oh
and
you need to repair
breaks.
This right
you
especially when you
it.
Need it. Well,
you
what was the one?
It.
There was one weapon, one thing where I was playing it and
Fallout does it. It's annoying.
System Shock 2 does it. Where I'm like, oh, this thing's coming at me. And I'm like, bam, bam,
oh,
clunk,
clunk.
And I'm like, come yep. on. One more shot would have killed the thing. Now it rapes my face.
Wow.
It's,
that's a thing.
It's bad. In space.
In space.
Space rape is bad.
Wow. Watch out for those space huggers, man.
So swords, you know, that never need to be sharpened or sharpened like that. You know, guns that never
guns
need to be cleaned.
Need cleaning, because that's mystical.
Yeah, that's pretty
but,
mystical.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, Fallout does it. You know, your weapons degrade over time.
Right.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's just aggravating. That's all it
like
is.
I always have crappy weapons. Like, I always have weapons that are
well,
near breaking.
Fault.
They're all, well, there's no reason to repair them because I'd rather just be small arms master, you know, because they're plentiful and I could repair one all the way up and then I'll use it and I'll, you know, that's all I can.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
all
I guess
I
it gives you something
it.
To do with all the, like, same weapon that you find so you don't have, like, 30 in your inventory.
I combine them. I glue
yeah,
them all
exactly.
together and make one.
I love
nice
how
one.
That's a thing.
Different languages. So you become sort of a universal translator in almost
in
every game you play.
Shadow of Chernobyl. Check
yeah.
that out. We're in Russia. We're literally in Russia.
The Russians speak
Why
English.
Why does everyone speak English?
You know, Metro 2033 did that, and Last Light did that. They're remaking that, by the way, into a
Aren't
Super
they?
HD
nice.
Mega Pack. Something that bothered me is that they mix words from, like, Russian words and English dialogue.
Yes.
So they make like, instead of, like, I don't know the Russian word for friend, but, like...
Comrade?
No,
comrade, that's English.
Maybe, but. I don't know. Same thing, though. You know, like, they throw a Russian word in there when, like, they're cursing just to kind of skirt the boundaries of, right, like, some censorship. And I'm like, come on, you don't need that. Like, I would have rathered you just add a censor bar or a censor
beep. I would honestly
beep.
Rather it just all be in Russian and with subtitles.
Yeah, I feel like that would help immersion sometimes.
Well, I mean, you learn like I said, Russian. I'm thinking of, maybe you will, Shadow of Chernobyl, though. You're literally in Russia.
Yeah.
No one speaks English.
That's where Chernobyl is.
That's where Chernobyl
yes.
is.
Yes.
By the way.
They're selling land
literally
in Chernobyl.
Russia. Yes, it is now open. Yep. For and scientific experimentation can happen there.
Yep.
So let's go do some experiments.
Let's gain some experience points.
Yeah.
And then die of poisoning.
It's like a real life RPG. Let's play Fallout 3.
This is sort of the thing. So you don't have to use the restroom in most games. This is an exception to like The Sims, because that is sort of a simulation. You're supposed to like mimic
it's
life.
It's literally a simulation.
But like in Fallout 3, like you're just running around the wasteland, unless you count the story parts of the game where it like fades out and fades back in and you've been asleep.
Right.
If you sleep and you're like, man, I gotta pee, and you wake up and you go to the bathroom. Whoo, man.
Isn't that everyone?
Good thing I wasn't wearing this armor. I took my armor
off. That'd been really annoying. This power armor?
Dead Space is one
Dude,
of
have
them.
You ever tried to use the bathroom in power armor?
No.
Exactly.
Do you have to? It's power armor.
It's power armor. I figured is it like an astronaut suit? Does it wear a diaper?
Yeah.
By the way, astronauts wear diapers, in case you were wondering how they use the restroom on the moon.
Astronauts are babies. Space shuttles
babies.
Are carriages.
Space babies.
Anyway, no, so like you, like Dead Space. I remember, I don't think you have a point in Dead Space where you don't know what's going on.
That's because the poop's been scared out of you a long time
ago. Dead Space is such a good series. That's a game series I would love to replay. I need to have time. More time, anyway.
And don't we all need more time?
We all do.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So those are all like our positive things. We're going to cut to a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about our negative things.
I don't know. I felt pretty negative on most of those.
No, I mean, these are things that like
I'm
they happen.
Just a hater.
They happen, and big whoop, they happen. That's a thing. But these things that happen that we're going to talk about after are negative things. These are the things that like
these are things that break controllers.
We wish they would go away. They're not. It doesn't break controllers. They're just tropey. They're super tropey.
Maybe they make me break controllers.
It's like when you're watching a romantic comedy.
I'm looking at a couple of these. I've broken some controllers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to switch to Solar Sailor, the Pretty Lights remix by Daft Punk. We got a request to play more Daft Punk, so we're doing
what?
That. I'm MG.
Listen, and I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
No, I'm Red Bear.
That was Daft Punk with the Solar Sailor Pretty Lights remix. Really like Pretty Lights. There's some bass in that song.
What?
Before this segment, we were talking about the things we like from video games, and now we're going to talk about some things that can die in a fire. So these are things in games, tropes, if you will, that happen, and when they happen, you have like an audible eye roll. It's not just visual. You're like, ugh.
That's an audible eye roll.
That's an audible eye roll, since we can't show you on the radio. Let's just break right into it. So we both played Infamous. You got sick playing it.
Yes.
I've beaten all...
I need to stop getting sick.
I think I've beaten all...
Jesus.
I've beaten 1-2, Infamous Second Son, and then I tried playing the stupid like Halloween Vampire DLC. That was dumb.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I did play Prototype, and I imagine this happens in a lot of other games. This is the mid-game loss of abilities or powers. This frustrates me so much.
Now you're not.
Like, they feel that you have to build you up to some good plateau point of where you can wreck everything, and then, through some horrible narrative sequence of events, you lose all of your powers. All they go away. That's dumb. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. You've worked so hard for half this game to have these powers, or were granted them to begin with.
I think it's supposed
it's
to teach you
backwards.
It's supposed to teach you responsibility. Like maybe now,
I don't want responsibility from a video game.
When we get your powers back,
if I did that, I'd do my taxes.
Well, there you go. Ooh, you should do your taxes.
Yeah, probably. I got like a 10-year log.
This also. Wow, that's illegal. This also happens like between video games, like Infamous 1, Infamous 2. At the beginning of Infamous 2, I have a good bit of powers. And then at the very beginning, some giant event happens that like I sort of lose some of the powers or they're different or they don't work right or whatever. I use all my energy in one big boss battle at the beginning and oh, now I got to find all my stuff again. You know, yeah. It's like, come on, we just did this dance for 5 hours in the other game.
Exactly. So no one likes to lose power.
No. That's moving on, Bear, what we got next?
Horrible vehicle segments looking at you, Mass Effect.
Man, Mass Effect 1.
Mako.
Poor Mako. I would even say ridiculous, like ridiculous Normandy vehicles. Like flying the Normandy around, there was no point.
It could
have been a point and click. Like, why do you have fuel as a resource?
I don't know.
You know, what's the point of that? Why, I get going to planets and mining, it could have been a point and click adventure on that screen. You know?
Well, even with the fuel, it was never like pressing that, like, oh no, you may run out of fuel and we'll be adrift in space.
What would you do if you ran out of fuel? Do you remember?
Like, I never ran out of fuel.
I can't imagine.
It wasn't a deal.
I can't imagine. Yeah, there were like fuel stations
everywhere.
In every system.
So it was just annoying to have to click it.
But no, the famous Mako, or the infamous Mako.
Infamous.
Making a comeback in Mass Effect, quote, 4.
Hopefully
it's
awesome.
Good. I was talking last week about Advent Rising. I think it was the retro game last week. Advent Rising had terrible bad vehicles. Like, all the vehicles were bad. There's just bad platform to begin with. So all vehicles on that platform are going to be bad.
They're just bad. Yeah.
If you're going to have a vehicle segment, make it a decent vehicle segment.
You know, take an entire team to make the vehicle segment.
Right. You don't look at Battlefield 4, you know, especially, or Battlefield Hardline. There's a ton of vehicles in that game. They're not going to make a horrible vehicle and then just let you deal with it.
Right, right.
And maybe, you know, of course, production value goes, or is, has to be taken into account, but.
Yeah.
We got some hate for some QuickTime events. I'm going to tell you what.
Who likes QuickTime events?
Everyone raise your
hand. Shut
up. Yeah. Sit down. What are you doing? You don't have a radio show. QuickTime events, in case you have not been in.
Press A if you like QuickTime events.
Press A.
You're not pressing A.
It's any event that happens that requires you to do something, otherwise you won't achieve something.
Press B to make Matt shut up. Thank you! Yes! I love you guys. Y'all are awesome. So now Red Bear's taking over the show.
In reality.
Press B again.
I just went quiet. No, so QuickTime events just make things happen in the game, but not through any real skill. It's just your ability to push a button, and it tells you the button.
It's like, hey, are you still paying attention to the game, by the way?
Right, like, you know, cutscenes? Well, imagine it's like a cutscene, but if you don't push a button, the game's over.
Yeah.
Or you lose an arm or something. You know, something ridiculous happens in the game.
If you don't hit the button.
So QuickTime events have their place. I feel like QuickTime events, you know, to dodge something, maybe that's okay.
I don't know.
One time.
No, I don't like QuickTime events. I'm going to stick with that.
No?
I don't like them. They're stupid. Get rid of them.
That's
die
fine.
In fire.
I would think maybe it's okay if you could turn them on or off, because I could see people liking some QuickTime events, but I think there are instances where QuickTime events are never acceptable. One is QuickTime events, instead of actually fighting a boss, you actually fight them with QuickTime events.
No. If there's a boss fight with a QuickTime event, you're doing your boss fight wrong. You're doing it worse than Deus Ex.
Ooh.
And they outsource that.
Ooh. In case you,
they even admitted their boss
fights were bad. Extremely deep. Ooh. Secondly, you know, if there are QuickTime events, I'm looking at you specifically, Resident Evil and Sonic, sort of, for GameCube. If you have a QuickTime series of QuickTime events that happens every time you get in an encounter, like things you have to dodge out of, or things that you have to, you know, emotion, hit this button to do this thing. Well, if it's more than one button, if it's a combo and it's not a fighting game, then. Like, there are gaming mechanics that allow you to back away or get eaten or whatever, you know? Like, there are mechanics that fix that for you. So don't make people hit buttons in random sequences. Don't make us, in order to do some crazy cool move that we just learned, don't make us do the button thing, the QuickTime event button press dance a million times. It's annoying. Moving on, Bear.
I was going with beating bosses multiple times, speaking of boss fights.
Man, okay, so when you, Devil May Cry. Pretty much every Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Whenever you see the boss and you're like, I see you, boss.
I'm
taking you down, son.
Then you spend all this time and effort, energy fighting him.
Right. You may burn through like all your inventory doing this. And
then he runs away.
At the end, it's like, heh, you're nothing for me. I'm goons, get him. And the goons jump out and they're fighting you. And he's like, well, I'll see you later. And he jumps on his jet pack or whatever and jumps away.
Hella jetpack.
And
hella jetpacks out of there.
And goes away. And then later on, you fight him again. And I mean, this was cool in Mega Man X when you fought Vile, because
you
were
saying that because you like Mega Man.
It was at the very beginning, and then you fought him at the very end.
I'll give you, it made sense.
You couldn't do it, and then you build up, and you can.
Yeah.
Well,
it's annoying, though, whenever.
Maybe you can.
Well, maybe.
Unless you're
It's
bad.
Annoying when the entire game you're chasing this one boss around.
Yeah, that is really annoying. Moving on, we're going to go ahead. We're going to end it on the last two. We got Door Opening Siege, where there's a closed door and it's
an elevator
like,
or something.
You know, the guy's like,
got to hack it.
Whiskey, watch my back while I weld through this door. And Whiskey's like, okay, boss. And you're like, you look around, you start to notice there's like cover. There's barrels and there's boxes, and it's a wide open arena. And you're like,
why is there all this ammunition lying
I feel
here?
Like, yeah, there's like an ammo box with infinite ammo. Yeah. You're like, huh, I hope no enemies attack. And then all of a sudden, like swarms and waves of enemies come.
It's
and
just
you're
a
like,
way to kill time.
Come on. Yeah, it's waiting for the elevator to come down, waiting for the door to open, waiting for the guy to get up the stairs, waiting
it's
for
worse
someone.
Than escort missions.
It's really, really bad. Speaking of escort missions, Bear.
What a segue! Escort missions. No one in their right mind likes an escort mission.
No, I feel like escort missions where you have to... Escort missions where you have to just be close to some other thing in the game the entire time, those are really, really annoying.
Yes.
Escort missions where you have to pick somebody up and now you can't do an action, those may be okay because that could happen in a real game.
I think
Last of Us did that where you had to pick a girl up, you had to pick Ellie up and to carry her somewhere because she like hurt her foot or something. I can't
right.
remember.
Right. I mean, oh, and there was the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first one where you had to drag the soldier around.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's fine.
I feel like it could be okay. But most of the time it ain't.
Most of the time it's done wrong and doesn't even make sense in the game. And it's just annoying. Another time sink for you.
We are out of time. We're going to kick to a song. We're going to end the show out. This is Star Fox Cornea Asteroids Remix by Entertainment System. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points, but we are completely out of time. Completely out of time. That was Star Fox Cornea Asteroids Remix by Entertainment System. We are going to leave you with another song. Before we do that, Bear, what is the website?
ExPPoints.com.
If you want to check us out on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google+, Steam, just go to ExPPoints.com/Twitter or /YouTube or /Google+ or /Facebook, and you can check out everything that we have to offer. If you're interested in getting on the in-development Minecraft server that we have going on, just go ahead and point inside Minecraft to mc.exppoints.com. Standard port, just leave it like that. And you can log in and kind of look at what we're going on and what we're doing. Some of
very
the mods that we're using. It's very in development. If you have any suggestions.
Early access, because we know we all love early access.
Early access is great. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's even free.
If you would like to suggest some things that we do with the Minecraft server, please don't hesitate to send us an email at mg@expppoints.com or redbear@expppoints.com. We're going to leave you with one final song. This is Metamorphic Rock by Dark Sword and 6-2 Sounds from the, I believe it's a Sonic's 3 remix. It may be a Donkey Kong remix. Can't remember.
Wow.
But this
it's
has
a
been,
remix.
This has been Experience Points. Thank you for listening.
I love you guys.
Tune back next Wednesday from Wednesday. Tune back next Wednesday from 9 to 10. That will be the first show of season 6. Welcome back, everybody.
Fall semester.
Anyway, I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.